Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're continuing our study on the building blocks of love, or our pursuit of Christian maturity. Because the calling of God that is upon our life, in the midst of many things, including making disciples, is as being a disciple ourselves, becoming more like Jesus each and every day. And as we've discussed, as we have looked at this passage this morning, the beginning of this new life in Christ is faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are born again. Now, just like natural children, we're born as babes. And maybe you're different than me, but when I was born again, I had a long way to go. In fact, after many years of being born again, I still had a long way to go. And although, I don't want to say you've come a long way, baby. In fact, I can't remember. I can't remember what that was an ad for. I hope it's not Virginia Slims, but if it was, forgive me. But even though I've come a good way, at least I'm surprised sometimes when I look at what God has done in my life, I know I still have a long way to go in Jesus. But we know we've reached kind of the height or the fullness. And when I say this, I don't mean there's no room for growth or as far as faith, as we've talked about, our faith needs to continue to grow and grow and grow as we live for the Lord Jesus. But the pinnacle, the height of Christian maturity is love. And when I say love, it's not our text or focus this morning, will be in a few weeks. Love is loving like Jesus loves, not like the world loves. We've seen, and we've really seen, and may I just say one of the things, and I think one of the things we're going to pray about tonight is a lot of the global things that are going on, and the video that Kara shared was from South Africa, and right now South Africa is going through a very terrible time. And they need our prayers because things are very, very difficult there. But despite the progression of humanity, according to the thinkers, the movers, the shakers of the world, there is no true love that exists in society. Man is not evolving. Especially in the area, we know evolution is a lie. But we see it as far as, especially as it relates to our heart, our emotions, our ability to mature and become whole and good and noble people. Man is not evolving. Man really hasn't changed. There's a few more constraints that we have. And we better enjoy these constraints while we still have them, because before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, according to the Word of God, constraints are going to be thrown out the window. Man is not becoming more loving. It falls far short of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to our text, which I'll read in just a few moments, there's a path. There's a road. There's a process of going from faith to a place of love that's laid out for us. And if we want to become people of love, the world needs love. We need to understand what God's process is in you and I becoming more like Him, so that we can be a light and a witness in these dark times that we're living in. And people, other people who don't know Christ and who are disillusioned with the world. Let me tell you, what's going on in the cities today isn't because of poverty or race or this or that. You know, whatever narrative is culturally being fed to us today. The reason there is so much discontent is people don't have anything to live for, and they never will until they find Jesus. One of the things that the world needs to see, the world needs to hear the gospel from the church, but the world needs to see the gospel and God's perfect love being lived out in our lives. Let's read our text together this morning from 2 Peter, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Father, thank you so much for being in this place, and thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. Freedom to worship, freedom to sing, freedom to study your word and to declare your word and to grow. As we look to the Word of God this morning, we once again humbly ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this room. May you give words to this, your speaker this morning. May you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many here this morning love babies? Aren't they great? And we're not grandparents yet. And it doesn't look like we're going to be grandparents anytime soon. That's okay. But when babies come, and those of you who are grandparents probably know much better, you get all the good things about babies, you know, the laughing, the cooing, the cuddling, even the newborn, before they even really smile. It's still such a blessing to have this brand new, right, Elaine? You're our newest grandmother, maybe? I'm trying to think if there's anyone who has a more recent, you and Jim and Tony are tied. But babies are great. But babies lack, you know, they have so many wonderful things, but they lack one very important quality that is not only important for them to function in society, but is also critical if they are going to grow, maintain their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, that being patient. You cannot find, and maybe I'm wrong, I am not a child psychologist, but you cannot find an ounce of patience in a little baby. When a baby is hungry, the baby cries and will not stop crying until it finally receives some food in his or her little belly. When they're wet, they will cry until they're dry. A mother or father can't go to them and say, could you just wait a few minutes? I just got to finish this thing. I'm in the middle of a phone call, or I'm in the middle of making dinner, or, you know, this is a great chapter. And if you just wait 5 minutes, I would greatly appreciate it. No baby will do that. At first, they don't understand you. But patience isn't part of who they are. In fact, I think patience is something that's made. And one example that I'd like to put forth before you this morning is the example of children who are never taught patience. Now, of course, with a newborn, when they're hungry, we rush in to feed them. Why? Because number one, we care for them. Number two, we want them to start crying so we can get back to bed. But in all seriousness, you know, we try to meet their need as soon as possible because we love that little baby and they can't help it. But some parents don't make that transition to say, even though my child wants something, even though they might cry and stamp their feet, it's good for them to wait so that they can learn patience. Otherwise, they'll become a spoiled, I was going to say a rotten little brat, but I won't say that this morning. They'll become a spoiled child. And they'll have difficulty when they get out into at school, and they'll have difficulty when they get out in the real world where they'll have to wait, and no one cares if they're unhappy or uncomfortable. We've been talking about the different steps to love. We've talked about faith. We talked about virtue. We talked about knowledge. And last week we talked about self-control. And I think this is just a natural fruit of self-control, but one that is so essential it requires special attention. If we are going to be people of love, in fact, does not 1 Corinthians say this, the chapter of love? We need to, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, be masters of patience. The problem with that is twofold. Number one, patience isn't as evidence. And again, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to throw stats at you. But just as far as my observation, and not just in little children, but people at the ShopRite parking lot, or people who don't appreciate me slowing down and stopping at a yellow light, I get an interesting salute sometimes if I do that, but patience is something that does not come to us naturally, and patience, because we have an understanding of how God forms patience within us, is not something that we search after. In fact, it's one of those things that we hope we could skip on our way to becoming more like Jesus. Kind of like the child in school who hates mathematics, and when they get to high school goes to their guidance counselor, is there any way I could skip math and still graduate? It's not going to happen. So today we're going to, and I doubt we finished this message this morning. We may, but I doubt it very much. We're going to talk about patience, something everyone needs. And I say this to the shame of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone obtains. In fact, not only does not every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ obtain patience, some don't even bother to pursue it. Now, as we read our text, we didn't see the word patience. I believe it was in the, I'm reading New American Standard, the word steadfastness or perseverance. But it means constancy. If we're looking at a literal definition of it, it means constancy, or endurance, patience of course, or sustaining, enduring patience or perseverance. And I think as it relates to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say three things about patience. Number one, it's the ability, and I'll say it's a God-given ability, because it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, to wait on God. And when I mean wait, I don't have to look into any kind of crazy definition or understanding what that means. It means literally to sit there and be quiet and wait on God, or wait on others for the will and the plans and purposes of God to happen. And this waiting that God has called us to live in, that is essential in our faith, often needs to be or is demonstrated in times of hardship or difficulty. But we cannot have growing faith. And one of the things that we've talked about in this series of messages is faith is not just something we experience when we come to a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith needs to continue to grow as we live for Jesus. You cannot be a person of increasing faith if you are not a person who possesses and is growing in patience. Now, there's a reason why we need, there's actually three reasons why we need patience. And it's because things never work out, number one, I shouldn't say never, don't always work out, number one, the way that we want them to. And number two, almost always, things don't work out on the timeline that we would like them to. How many here ever received everything you wanted, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it, and no one, if you raise your hand, you need to write a book, because you are blessed. And there are three reasons for this. Number one, God does not work on your timeline. God has his own timeline, and not that he doesn't love you, not that he isn't concerned with you, not that Romans 8:28 is a lie, which, if you don't know, it's a good verse to memorize. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. But God's ways are on his own timeline for, number one, his glory, but also for the good of all. Sometimes you and I are short-sighted when it comes to the moving of God within our lives. And what I mean by that is this. We make our problems all about us instead of about, number one, God being glorified in what we're going through. And number two, people seeing God in us so that one or two things might happen in their lives. If they don't know Jesus, they will come to Jesus. And if they do know Jesus, their faith in Jesus will grow because they see your faithfulness, your steadfastness, your patience in the midst of difficulty. We want God to move, and I think a good example of this is the man Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, who died. And Jesus first got word that Lazarus was sick unto death. He was in the final stages of whatever disease that he had, and he didn't have much time, and word was sent to him. He could have, because he was the Son of God, he could have said, go, and you will find Lazarus whole. And Jesus didn't need to be there in order to lay hands or to speak to that illness. He simply could have committed. He did that before. He said to the lepers, go show yourselves to the high priest. And as they went, they were being healed. He didn't do that. After he received the message, he stayed there for 2 days where he was ministering. And then he went on the 4-day journey to see Lazarus, whom he found was dead. In fact, he knew he was dead the moment he left. That was not the plan according to Mary and Martha, the sisters of the man Lazarus. In fact, when they saw Jesus, if only you were here, our brother would have died. But God said it was for the purpose of the glory of God that he waited. Have we grasped that as believers as it relates to you and I going through times of testing? Whether it's a minor inconvenience that just irritates, and sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vines, or the big major things that we're going through. Do we really understand? Because we are emissaries, we are ambassadors of Christ, that what we might be going through is a lot bigger than us, that has eternal consequences, not in just who we are, but in who Christ either is or could be in those who are around us. That's why patience is so necessary. And just one scripture that speaks to God moving on his timeline and not moving when we want, how we want, the way we want. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is... Notice he says that. Let's take a look at verse 8. A little more closely. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. He's talking about time, you know, being God's concept of time is completely different than ours. It's beyond ours. God is eternal. We're finite. One day we'll see God and we'll understand what this verse means in its entirety. But then listen how he follows that up. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, there's a lot of things we could dig into that verse, or these verses, and look into that. But essentially, this is saying two things. Number one, God is eternal, as I just mentioned. But secondly, God has his own timeline and own schedule as far as what he is going to do and when he is going to do it. It's not that our prayers are uttered in vain. They are certainly not. It's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God isn't willing. It's just that God has his own timeline and his own purposes. Another verse I thought about putting in and didn't put in, but his ways are far above our ways, his thoughts beyond ours, from the book of Isaiah. But there's a second reason why you and I need patience, and it's not because of God and God's ways. It's because of people. One of the things that's inescapable as far as our lives and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives is
that a good deal of what we do in service for the Lord Jesus Christ is investing ourselves into others for his kingdom. And we do that by fulfilling the Great Commission, which is what? Making disciples, teaching, which is bringing people to faith in Jesus, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, discipling people and helping people to become more like Christ. I think the church sometimes has a improper mentality, almost like a grade school mentality, as far as the time and the method that is required to bring a person to Jesus, but then a person who knows Jesus to a place of maturity. And what I mean by that is this. If we, for, you know, the new converts class, and not against the new converts class, I think they're really essential if they're done well. But, you know, if we just bring a person through these 8 steps or these 14 steps or these foundational truths, if we kind of just throw information at people, then boom, Billy Graham. And it doesn't work that way. And I'm not despising knowledge. It's important that we instill knowledge and instill the fundamentals of Christian living. I mean, one of the first things I think it's important to do with people who come to Christ is to share with them what exactly has happened in their lives, why, if they didn't have a full understanding in, when they accepted Jesus, why they needed Jesus, why did Jesus die? How does the death of Jesus, how does that bring forgiveness? How does the resurrection play all into that? You know, understanding those things, what it means to pray, studying the Bible and so on and so forth. But becoming a disciple of Jesus is more than just, you know, reading through. I've got, you know, over there I've got one of the books that we give to people that have, you know, the essentials or the first steps of faith. But you know, becoming like Jesus is so much more than knowing to read your Bible and pray. Those aren't even baby steps. they're pre-baby steps. That's like pulling yourself up. I'm not despising it. But Christian faith, learning how to be truthful, learning how to connect with God, learning how to be patient. And so, you know, there's just so much to being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, if you step out in faith and you take someone under your wing and help them, because the best way someone can become more like Jesus is by having a one-on-one friendship, one-on-one encounter with another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to ask questions, but to see how you live out your faith in Jesus. I guarantee you there'll be one step that at least one, that person will get stuck on. Will they ever learn to start reading their Bible? Or will they ever develop a discipline to pray? Or will they ever stop telling lies? Or will they ever become patient? And so on and so forth. And we can't be, you know, the school system, we hear about how in some cases, and how their kids are grown, we're not as involved with the school system as we used to. But, you know, you kind of pass kids along whether they learn things or not. Okay, you're good. That's not what we've been called to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's tempting when someone either refuses to progress in Jesus or keeps falling down, to hang in there with it, to hang in there with them. But is it not, number one, did not Jesus do that with us when we were taking our first steps with the Lord Jesus Christ? And is it not essential, both for them but also for us, that we be patient with people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ and continue to walk with them and to help them, if they're willing, to grow and move forward in Jesus? So, and this goes without saying, this is especially true as far as people that you know and care about who don't know the Lord. You have to be patient in continuing to pray and believe God for His saving work in their lives, even though they might not receive the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years. You cannot give up. And so patience is essential for that. Verse goes right along with that, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And there's no way you and I can reach in someone's brain and flick a switch or turn a knob and turn on or turn up Christian maturity within them. But I tell you, and this is, it's going to be our last point this morning. We'll pick up on this message next week. It may be a three-parter. But I think it's so important, and we just establishing the need that we have for patience. One of the people, or I would say the person that you and I have the least patience with, or could have the least patience with, is ourselves. How many of you, rhetorical question, no hands please. How many of you have been disappointed in yourself this past week? You're disappointed with something you said, disappointed with something that you did, you're disappointed in something that you thought. You expected better from yourself, and you didn't measure up to that. Second question. How many people here have been struggling with some aspect of your Christian faith? Maybe it's an area of righteousness or holiness, or maybe it's an area of Christian maturity. You know, you keep falling, failing as far as faith. You know, you give up on Jesus easier than you would like to. And I think we all could say yes to that as well. If we're not patient with ourselves, the danger of that is this. We don't see within us the things that we want to see, and we keep falling down over and over again. Let me tell you, the enemy right there is right there to say to you, you might as well give up, you failure. You haven't made it yet. You've served God for such and such a time. You haven't overcome this yet. We're still waiting for you to break through this barrier. You haven't done it. You're never going to do it. You might as well give up and just kind of be a wishy-washy, flow with the wind. I kind of like to think of it in like a James chapter 1. You know, driven with the wind and tossed. You're just kind of in the ocean. I'm just going to float to heaven and hope that I make it, rather than someday being a person of faith saying, someday I know by God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, I am going to have a breakthrough, and I am going to be a man or a woman that can look him or herself in the mirror and say, God has done a great work. I can't wait for the next one. Friend, you need to have patience with yourself. You're going to fail. Failures in all of us. That's why we need Jesus. But you know, God not just forgives us of our failures, of our sins, but He also redeems our failures. It's not really germane to the point this morning, but I do want to leave you with this before we conclude. God redeems your failures because you falling down, a righteous person falling down, David was a righteous man who fell. As many times as he fell, God picked him up. That is redeemed by you learning more about the grace, the power, the love, the mercy of God, your own weaknesses, and the things in your life that bring you to that point of failure. God can take and does take what is negative in your life, and He redeems it and makes it a blessing. In Jesus' name. But all of that is for naught if we are not a people who are patient with ourselves. Would you stand with me this morning? And I would like to conclude the message just by asking this very simple question. Are you pursuing patience in your life? Let me tell you, I'll give you just a small preview of the last part of this series of messages on patience. God not only desires, God will continue to try to produce patience within your life. And one of the ways, not the exclusive way, but one of the ways that God forms patience in everyone is bringing them through trial and difficulty. I wish I could stand here and say, if you know Jesus, nothing bad will ever happen to you, but that would be a lie. You will go through difficult times, and one of the noble purposes of going through a time that is difficult is God forming that jewel of patience within your life. Now, you can respond one of two ways. You can sit in the corner and say, God, I refuse to become patient. And I'm just going to sit here and stew and fuss and complain until it's over. Or you can embrace the Lord Jesus. Not embrace so much the trial and the difficulty, but embrace the ministry of the Lord, who wants to pour into your life the sweetness. And it is sweet, the sweetness of patience. Let me tell you, a patient man or woman is always happy. But the impatient person, it doesn't take much to throw them into a rage or sadness, mostly a rage. I'd rather be happy, wouldn't you? Let's allow patience to have it. It's perfect work within us. Let's allow God to form this necessary step. Your faith can't grow without it, and you can't love without it. Let's sing this morning.